We're talking with Blaine Arthur, our State Secretary of Agriculture. Madam Secretary, let's talk a little bit about some of the things you've been doing. You've been busy over the last 7 to 10 days or so trying to, I guess, kind of catch up with all the things that are going on within agriculture in our state, kind of coast to coast as far as on the east side, west side. I know that there's been a good bit of damage, and folks are having to try to recover from some of this excessive rain that we've had, and we've seen that really almost statewide.
You know, the rain that we've received, certainly when you see photos of it or videos of it, you imagine the impact. But myself and some of my staff had a chance to travel this week to the eastern side of Oklahoma, where we've certainly seen a lot of that water, and a lot of that water that was higher than it's ever been and moved faster than it typically does. And now that some of it has receded, got out there on the ground to talk to those producers. Fortunate to have Trey Lamb with the Conservation Commission travel with us, as well as NRCS staff from those particular counties. And when you get out there in person and you see really the effects of that water, certainly not only what it's done to destroy the crops that they currently had planted, but then when you start talking about what is the long-term plan to mitigate and address some of those issues, very, very challenging. We had a lot of producers who are seeing a significant erosion of their property. And so from conservation perspective, talking about can we do riparian areas, overall soil health is a very, very big challenge. A lot of sand has come in as that river water has moved and moved very quickly across the property. So we saw one particular field that was a wheat field before it started to rain, and now it kind of looks like the Little Sahara. unfortunately, I mean, when you just saw sand blowing across the ground because so much had been deposited and it's just piled up. And so talking to those producers in person and seeing those challenges, certainly from the state perspective, we kind of feel our role is getting them connected with our federal partners. So their local FSA office, and we had a chance to attend the FSA meeting there in Muskogee County, producer field room, and they just were very much walking all of those producers through the programs that are available. You know, if your livestock were impacted, if your crops were impacted, is it ECP, is it EWP, and how to work through that process. So I know I certainly learned a lot from every single producer about what their priorities were. Some of it was equipment-wise, that my equipment, you know, was flooded out. My equipment was insured, but my insurance doesn't cover the fact that the equipment was flooded out. So now I'm trying to get back out into the field, but I don't have a tractor that is workable at the moment. And then, you know, another producer who moves a lot of things by barge to his location, you know, that's not an option. The Port of Kyoto there is where he normally moves a lot of product back and forth. And so his was more of a commerce challenge. You know, am I going to move things by rail now? Am I going to move things by truck? That adjusts my cost. I lose a lot of that margin. And so getting to talk to them in person and hear every producer specific challenge, and then we've kind of compiled all of those and, you know, prioritized that discussion so then we can talk not only with our federal agencies and those partners, but also share that information with our congressional delegation so we can kind of hopefully be an extended voice of our farmers and ranchers regarding how they've been impacted by the weather.
Having Conservation Commission along with you, along with those federal conservation agencies, I guess that's a place that we're going to see a lot of cost share type programs and whatnot that may be kicking in to help do some repairs at least.
I think absolutely, you know, and that's what you could see those folks kind of already saying, okay, can we put back in some riparian areas here, or can EQIP funds come in? If we utilize them this way, then we can mitigate this situation and maybe, you know, help where a lot of the land has literally just been taken away by the water. And what's the solution to that, and how do we go back in to resolve that issue? So I think we will see a lot of utilization of both Conservation Commission programs and those partnerships with NRCS to slowly but surely try to resolve a lot of the challenges that we see out there on the ground today.
At this point, really not a whole lot of state funds out there, but this is where you have a chance to, say, use the bully pulpit to help these farmers, right?
Absolutely. And that's what we want to do. And when we have more information, then we can have very specific dialogue with our federal partners. And very fortunate that Governor Stitt had a chance to visit with Secretary Perdue in Washington, D.C. earlier this week. And we have had multiple calls from our counterparts at USDA saying, okay, give us, you know, some specifics there from Oklahoma, trying to hopefully get some additional staffers from USDA, hopefully some undersecretaries to come and see the damage here, because I think when you see it in person and you hear those individual stories of those producers, it kind of magnifies the situation, and that's what we want to push forward, what has happened here in Oklahoma. We certainly understand the Midwest has been impacted significantly, but Oklahoma is very unique in our geography and what our producers do, and we want to be sharing the Oklahoma story.
Got some of our bigger cattle counties that were impacted. Did you get many stories, or were we able to be fortunate to stay away from too much death loss? You know, what was kind of information have you gotten back from the country on that?
From what we'd heard thus far from the majority of our livestock producers, a lot of them had enough notice to move cattle. And, you know, I certainly think we see what we see a lot in Oklahoma, where neighbors and friends, you know, brought trucks and trailers or said, I've got a place over here. This is higher ground. We'll gather all of them together. I know Wednesday we did talk to a producer who had lost, he estimates right now, about 25 head of cows, that just the water came up too fast. That he couldn't get to them, and that's certainly very devastating for that producer. And again, that's where we want him to get with his FSA office and record those losses and look at the programs that they have available for that. But it's a unique thing in ag, because all of our, whether it's crops or whether it's livestock, you know, that's how a lot of people, that's their business. That's how they put groceries on the table. And when that kind of disappears very, very quickly, it certainly takes an emotional toll, but ultimately a financial toll on them as well.
Let's maybe shift gears, maybe a little more pleasant subject to talk about here at the latter part of the week. You were in northeastern Oklahoma again, the Pryor area, and big news with Google making some further investment in Oklahoma, but also making a fresh commitment to 4-H. Tell me about that.
You know, it's quite a big day for the state of Oklahoma and also for the Oklahoma 4-H program yesterday there in Pryor. You know, I think it's a pretty exciting day when we get the CEO of Google to come to our state and to talk to Oklahomans and talk to our 4-H staff and ultimately some 4-H members there in that particular area. We also had Jennifer Sorangelo, who is a familiar face to a lot of us with the National 4-H Council. But Google committing, you know, an additional $600 million investment there to the Pryor area in Mays County expansion, but also a commitment of $6 million to the 4-H through the National 4-H Council. To 4-H clubs here in Oklahoma and in other states specific to STEM activities. STEM, something that everyone's very, very familiar with, but that science, technology, engineering, and math, and that's become a very big part of our 4-H program. And seeing Google having the ability to support those great efforts that we've already got going on in the Oklahoma 4-H program and the importance of STEM and how great the work is that our 4-H education do all across Oklahoma. It's a kind of a red letter day to have that happen in the state of Oklahoma. So excited to be able to be there for that yesterday. Governor Stitt was there and got to visit with those individuals as well. And we had a lot of our legislators who were there as well. So just great to see all those partners coming together, doing good things for the state, and absolutely some great things for our youth who are involved in the 4-H program.
From your conversation with Jennifer and your knowledge of 4-H, how would you envision those monies being used in the state of Oklahoma?
You know, I think there are a lot of things that we're already doing really well in regards to SIM, and Dr. Jeff Salee in the state 4-H office leads a lot of those efforts. That's everything from the robotics program to a lot of VR goggles and a lot of our youth who have an interest in ag and incorporating some of those ag programs and how the STEM interacts with a lot of our ag production. Right. So I think we will see a lot of expansion of existing programs that we have, have, but also some collaboration to say, you know, how can we work collectively maybe to have a more significant impact with these STEM dollars? And is that a statewide activity? Is that getting monies specifically to the counties? Is that, you know, grant opportunities to work with teachers in the schools to do some of this 4-H programming? So I think there is kind of unlimited potential to get those dollars out. And I know that Dr. Salee and his staff will be working diligently to make sure that those resources are deployed in the most effective way possible.
I guess this is further evidence. So we've had a lot of examples of this for 4-H and for FFA in our state, where we've got companies coming in and say, we want to invest in those young people that are involved in this type of activity.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, Ron, I'm very passionate about youth development. I'm very passionate about both the 4-H program and the FFA program here in the state of Oklahoma, because both of those programs help us to have the type of individuals who are good contributors to our communities, who also are going to be wonderful citizens, whether they're here in Oklahoma or somewhere else in the United States. And they're learning all those important things about hard work and responsibility and showing up on time, but then also we're getting these STEM funding opportunities to them, and because we know the workforce is going to demand that. So it's a great workforce development pathway as well. So we've got, in my mind, the best kids that we have in the state who are involved in the 4-H and FFA program. I have great companies recognizing that from Google and lots of support from National 4-H Council. So we're getting them the best resources. So great opportunity for them, and I think ultimately a great opportunity for the state as we have this pipeline of quality youth who are going to have a skill set that the workforce is going to want here in the next 5, 10, 15 years here in Oklahoma.
I guess that's part of that overall strategy that Governor Stitt has articulated several times, his top 10 concept of making Oklahoma the very best.
There is no question. And, you know, investing in our youth, I think, is a very one of the great ways that we can do that, and preparing them to be successful. And a lot of that is giving the tools and resources so that they can have success and being kind of on the forefront of, we know, you know, we have a great aerospace industry here in Oklahoma. And, you know, on the ag side of things, more and more technology is included as a part of production agriculture every single day. And encouraging kids to say, you know, we love farmers and veterinarians, but look at all of these other opportunities in the ag sector, and you're going to need a lot of these STEM skill sets to be involved in those jobs, but kind of creating that excitement for them. And so they've got that long-term career path to say, this is what I want to do in ag, and I've got the training, and then ultimately that's a huge win for the state of Oklahoma.
But I guess finally, that kind of maybe leads me into maybe touching base with you about your youth council at the State Department of Agriculture. This is something that kind of a dream that you brought in as a new secretary. You're close to getting the first meeting in place, right?
We are. We will have those 20 students join us in August, so that's sneaking up on us quickly, and we have some great plans set up for them. I think the thing that, certainly from the department's perspective, we've been so excited about is all of our commodity groups have reached out to say, how can we support this? How can we play a part with the Ag Youth Council? And just from the mentorship opportunities, ways of getting them to see how policy is developed, how policy impacts them, even as younger adults, and I think sometimes younger adults don't think about policy impacts for when they may go back to the ag sector, and just seeing all the opportunities that there are either within the department or other sectors of agriculture from a career perspective, because these are individuals that I hope that come back to ag in one way, shape, or form. And so we're excited to have them come join us, and very pleased with the response we've seen from our friends in the ag groups, the commodity groups, to help us with the effort.
Now, the young people have been selected. They're pretty well all out of the class of 2020.
They are. So these are, they'll be seniors starting into high school. So we, and they are very enthusiastic, and they are, I'm incredibly amazed at just the resumes of these high school seniors when they start telling you about their community service efforts, the projects that they're working on, if it's their SAE through the FFA program. I mean, a lot of them have their own agribusinesses kind of already going, and thousands of hours of community service, and just the drive and the passion passion that they have for ag and for the future of ag, I think should make us all excited. And we certainly want to kind of help shepherd them on that path forward and be a resource for them. And ultimately, we hope that we have several classes that we can rely on in the future. It's, you know, I was part of the Oklahoma Ag Leadership Program, which is a little older group, but we hope this can be somewhat of a similar version of that, to where we can lean on these young adults to give some of us guidance about what's best for the future of ag here in the state of Oklahoma.
Our State Secretary of Agriculture, Blaine Arthur, visiting with us about some of the things going on at the Oklahoma Department of Agriculture. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.